The next section then covers the neurophenomena and MEG measures. So the primary measure that's used in the MEG, whether we are discussing about investigating primary like sensory processing or processing related to human cognition or language, so-called phase-locked evoked response. So when this measure, where any kind of events generates a phase-locked neural response, electric current and MEG, magnetic field measured by the MEG. So then here's a small example of sounds being played to the left and right ear, the red sounds to the left, and the blue sounds to the right ear. And here I'm just taking two MEG sensors over the auditory cortex. I have seen with the vertical black lines, these are the events, the sounds that are being played. So if you consider this raw signal, this is actually more like a realistic example. In the earlier phase, I showed a case where I actually could see easily the signal events. But here, if you just consider this time course of activity, time series, at least I would say that I would be able to see this kind of neural events. I just see that there's an event, but I don't see any evident neural response in the raw time series. Is of course 15 seconds of data, and even if I zoom into 5 seconds of data, it's not clear. If I align all these events, now there are hundreds of events, then maybe something becomes evident that at about 100 milliseconds, it's kind of small bump, but it's not that clear as in the example from the literature. And you can see this for both sound types. Of course, there's some random noise also embedded, and the like neural process of interest is not really clear from these single trial events. So what actually is needed typically to study the phase-locked evoked responses is some kind of averaging. And so the single kind of ratio of these time-locked or actually phase-locked signals in this case can be improved by averaging across like repetitions. Of course, we then assume that the neural processing has been the same cross trials, but that's a fairly good assumption. Most of the processing is repeated across trials. Of course, there are also some relevant variation, but at least you can get a good estimation of the like uniform processing across events. And the signal to noise ratio is improved by the factor of square root of the number of events, number of trials. So, and then if you do this kind of averaging, so then you actually start to see something even from this kind of typical data. You see that there's the baseline window before the event, there's nothing. But then also here at about 100 millisecond, there's a clear peak of neural activity, both for the sounds played to the left and right ear. So actually now you can actually start to discern interesting phenomena. Of course, you might try to see when does this processing start to differ in the baseline window. How early does it start? But I would say typically you are interested in what is the like peak timing of the event and what is the amplitude of the event, either the peak amplitude or the mean amplitude of the time window. And these kind of properties are typically investigated in the phase-locked evoked responses. Then there's other types of activities. My first example lecture was about this oscillatory activity. It's known that the cerebral cortex exhibits this kind of spontaneous oscillations, some spontaneous oscillatory activity. It's kind of repetitive patterns that happen at certain frequencies. This is an example of the well-known alpha rhythm that was detected already in the 1920s with EEG. And you can see it easily also in MEG. And it's also well known that the amplitude of this alpha frequency increases if the eyes are closed compared to eyes open. Of course, you can see it to a manner from the raw signal. Of course, for proper scientific studies, we want to have some kind of quantifications. So even here, we are not in the early days, people just looked at the peak-to-peak intervals, for example, or some kind of manually drawn amplitude modulations, but we typically compute the, or estimate the MEG proper spectra. Of course, lots of methods commonly So what a Welch's method is used where we average across different segments of the data and get the estimates of the whole power spectrum. And here you can see that it's evident already raw signals that the amount of neural oscillatory power at this 10 Hz frequency is much higher for the ice closed condition. I might also see if it's true or not, but that the peak frequency might be slightly different. It could be that it's slightly higher, ice closed, but actually, then of course, whether this holds subjects a different question. But you can also here from power spectrum get two types of signals. You can get the peak frequency, and then you can get the amount of oscillatory power either at the peak. Also here you can then estimate the amount of oscillatory power in like sort of some band defined on both sides of the peak. There's also a third type of neural activity. It's called sort of induced rhythmic activity. And the origin of this is not always understood. This is a rhythmic activity that's tied to specific events. Oscillatory activity is normally looked at for continuous data, or it's defined for continuous data. But then there's also activity that's burst of like oscillatory activity that happens following an event. And what's different about this, the phase-locked activity, that this kind of induced activity is not phase-locked. So if you just average events, because the phase of the induced activity is different from trial to trial, the averaging doesn't actually improve the signal-to-noise ratio, so you don't detect this phenomenon. So instead, you need some kind of time frequency representations that you first estimate for each trial, what is the amount of rhythmic power at the different frequencies, and then you do the averaging. And then you can see that then this kind of burst of frequency-specific activity. These are oscillations or something else. It's not perfectly clear, but this is a like way to get this kind of non-phase locked activity that happens from trial to trial, we see. And what is interesting, if you just take then the phase-locked evoked response and transform that to these time frequency representations, for many of these rhythmic components, there's nothing corresponding in the evoked response. So this is different types of neural activity. It requires different types of analysis to be seen. So now I hope that you have some understanding of the neural phenomena, and especially the neural activity related phenomena that can be seen in MEG and the measures that are used to quantify them. So you should be able to answer questions to say that what kind of different neural phenomena can be seen with MEG and what are their properties of interest in MEG studies.